The stretch by the big left-hander. The pitch hit to deep left field. Trouble all the way back and gone. A three-run homer by Ha-Sung Kim. And the Braves, just like that, take a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen, Pat Hughes. This is Rahimian Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And what looked like a possible no-hitter was in play turned into a 5-1 Cubs loss to the Braves to close out the series. What? But that's pretty much what happened there. Unfortunately, as we heard Pat Hughes describe, Ben Brown came in. Cade Horton was pulled after five innings of no-hit baseball. He threw 75 pitches. He had six strikeouts to only one walk. So, once again, Cade Horton doing Cade Horton things. Ben Brown comes on in relief. He suffers the loss. And unfortunately, we are talking about a Cubs 5-1 loss after something that looked very different to begin with earlier in the game. And the question that we all had, at least Team Tyler, Robbie, and Layla, were like, this is crap. If somebody has a no-hitter, and we just heard the general manager of the team tell us that he didn't have a specific limit, then let him play.
Okay, let's not mischaracterize. We got to get to this right away because you're mischaracterizing what the GM said.
Hold on. What did the GM say, Robbie and Tyler?
Play it.
Let's hear it.
It's certainly something that we're thinking about. There's no hard caps on any of our pitchers. There's, you know, some old, you know, old rules about, you know, 20%, 30%, and, you know, injury rates. And, you know, when you actually do the research on it, those are pretty well debunked. But we do know that every time you throw a baseball, you have the risk of injury. And the more you risk injury, the better chance you are going to get injured. And so we're monitoring, you know, not only, you know, workloads, but also the stuff, how guys' deliveries look, how they're looking in the weight room, their body composition, all of those different things. And, you know, we're definitely going to, you know, err on the side of not trying to redline him here as we get closer to the playoffs. But at the same time, there's no cap on him, and he's put his body and himself in a really good position to be able to extend himself a little bit here.
He told us that yesterday. Okay, was Carter Hawkins yesterday on with us.
Do you know
the
question that he was answering?
And you know what's really funny is he said no cap. There indeed was a cap in many ways.
You're not listening. Hold on. The question was not included there. The question was innings, not pitches in a game. It was innings. There's no cap on innings for the season. That's what he was answering. That's what I was trying to get the three of you guys to come off your meatballness and understand.
It's not meatballness.
It is. Here's why it's meatballness.
It's baseball sports sensibility. If you have a no-hitter with 75 pitches,
baseball,
you keep pitching.
Baseball sports sensibility. If Cade Horton is out here since the All-Star break, giving up four earned runs since the All-Star break, and averaging, going into last night's game, 74.4 pitches an outing since the All-Star break. Why in the world would you believe he was going to stay in as long? I guess you want him to finish the game, right?
There at 15 pitches a game? Throwing a no-hitter.
I don't care. Do you want him healthy or not? Do you want him to pitch in the postseason or not?
So here's my point. Was he going to pitch a complete game? No, he probably was not going to do it. But if they're trying to win, if they're trying to win the Central, why at five innings, at 75 pitches, he can't go the sixth, he can't go the seventh? The reason they lost is because of their bullpen.
No, it's not. The reason they lost is because they scored one run. No, how many games do you win when you score one run? Hold on. The person who has not said anything about this, both in the group chat and on this show, Grody, how many games do you win when you score one run?
Very few. And I was very proud, and I was shocked that they did score that one run because it was trendy. Because they had a man on third with nobody out and two outs, and your backup utility outfielder luckily saves the day with a single in that spot. I tell you guys, I do err more towards Marshall on this one. Like,
thank you.
Maybe this is wrong, but like, I'm gonna trust the organization on their young prospect pitcher who might
lost the game.
Be there. Absolutely.
But they lost the game.
But Robbie, one thing to your point, because you're talking about they're trying to win the division. I don't know. Of course they want to win the division, but I think that they have sort of changed their sights. If you listen to the way Craig Counsell speaks, that he admits that Milwaukee has been awesome, but they're still in a great place to be in the postseason. And with all the fickleness of pitchers and young pitchers. And this is not the first time that an organization has gone through this. I always think back to Steven Strasburg, and maybe there's better examples.
No, he is the best example.
When they just shut him down, and everybody was mad at Mike Rizzo, the GM, then for doing that. And I'm sure
Scott
that they were.
Boris, too.
Yeah, that they were up in arms. This pitching is a dealt. And I know that Carter Hawkins said that some of that stuff is debunked, but I don't care.
Well, he was talking about the season and the innings again. If you listen to the question, innings.
Right.
I was worried about him being able to pitch enough innings to get into the postseason. Also, Craig Counsell talked about this after the game. And once you heard him, I was like, what are you guys even talking about? Listen to the manager.
No. So here's the thing. Do you know when the last no-hitter was in all of baseball?
Yeah,
it was last year. It was the combined no-hitter with Shota Imanaga, Nate Pearson, and Porter Hodge. You have to go back to August of last year for the last individual one. That was Blake Snell. Prior to that, it was Dylan Cease. Not that I want to throw that name out there, White Sox, but still. Point being, it hadn't even happened this year. And I think, more importantly, in Steven Strasburg's case, his career was not guaranteed. You can kind of fudge it with the fact that the playoffs are not yet guaranteed, but they're very close to having them be that way. Now, I always say that because of what happened in 2023 when they had the 90% chance in the first week of September and then catastrophically missed the playoffs that season. In this case, though, nothing is guaranteed for Porter Hodge. Or for Porter Hodge. Nothing. Well, him too.
Porter.
Nothing is guaranteed.
He was out
nothing
there last
is guaranteed.
Night.
Yeah, he was. He came back sneakily and then suddenly I was like, oh, we're going to use him. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you go from Cade Horton to Ben Brown, your Pomerantz, and Porter Hodge.
Pomsey.
Interesting.
Pomsey. Didn't we decide on Pomsey the other night? Drew Pomerantz? Is that his nickname? Pomsey?
I hadn't officially,
like,
but
Bomsey,
I'm okay with.
He's giving a bomb.
It was rough last night.
Being part of it.
Yeah.
But that's the point. None of this is guaranteed. None of it. And that's why it's hard when you're watching somebody do something that's amazing and matching what he's been doing. As you mentioned, we talked to Carter Hawkins about since the All-Star break.
Hey, listen, I'll say this. When you guys were talking to me in the group chat about this, and I was like, I don't understand why they're being so unreasonable. I then listened to Cade Horton post-game, and he has a much more sensible approach to this. Here's what he had to say after the game.
With a no-hitter, are you maybe trying to talk your way back in?
Jokingly. I know at the end of the day it's not going to happen. And that's all right. Like, I feel like, you know, I'd much rather be healthy for the postseason than go out there for the 6th or 7th in early September.
How do you joke it, you know?
You just ask for one more inning. Just tell them, hey, give me one more. And it's always no, but, you know, at least I tried.
And the beautiful part about Cade Horton there is he would go on to say the 75 pitches or so that he's been pitching since the All-Star break has helped him because now he knows that's what he's got to get to. It helps him to scale down the moment. It's like, go out there, get my 15 or so outs, and do it as efficiently as possible. It's actually turned him into a better pitcher. So I don't understand why you guys want to mess up what's been going so well for him. Instead, focus on the freaking offense.
But, okay, so you can also win a baseball game 1-0. My point is, why can't he just go longer if you have a no-no?
Because he wasn't going to go 9, and that's the prescribed.
But if he goes 7 innings, and you have the 8th and 9th inning, you can pitch Palencia, you can pitch Keller, you can pitch Caleb Thielbar, instead of having to toss out Ben Brown and Taylor Rogers. That's not that move yesterday was a Cubs 2032 move. Like, what are we going to do in the playoffs now?
It was a Cubs 2025 postseason move.
No, it wasn't, because we're still trying to...
How many pitches is he going to throw in the playoffs? No, what is he going to do in the playoffs now?
You should be able to, number one, throw more than 75 pitches in a game if you throw in the playoffs.
I threw 75 pitches as a little leaguer, and I was terrible.
Well, I will say this. Little league baseball, unfortunately, we're realizing that the miles on the arms is leading to a lot of these guys having to get Tommy John when they get called up. Let me hold on here. So I do say that, but also additionally, it's just like what we were saying. You know, this team hasn't been hitting. You know that. You don't need us to tell you. The manager knows that too. They haven't been as consistent as they want to hit. You know that you got to make up some ground when it comes to teams like this. And you know that you also need that guy in the playoffs and Cade Horton to throw more than 75 pitches. What happens when you're in high leverage, for example, and you don't have any series guaranteed, especially under Craig Counsell's watch? Unfortunately, he's familiar with that history. You'd better let him go out there and cook when he can. He needs to experience high leverage.
How
he
many
needs to experience
throw?
What happens when the game pitchers. When the game is on the line. I agree.
How many pitches did you want him to throw? How many pitches did you want him to throw?
Him out there for seven innings, and it gives you a better guarantee of,
MLB starter should go 100 pitches every game. That's what a MLB starter should be doing, 100 pitches.
That's not this version of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's first of all, we're talking about two different things.
If we're considering him as the ace, he should be throwing 100 pitches.
He should at least throw six. The quality start metric, as much as we talk about it with Jameson Taillon, as much as we talk about it with others, should apply to this one too. I know he's a rookie, but you know what? The other people mentioned when it was talked about as far as five inning outings since the All-Star break is your boy Tarik Skubal and Paul Skeens. Well, they also know how to have a quality starter too. So, okay. If there's no cap, there's no cap.
No, the cap again was on the innings, not the pitches per game. That's how they are monitoring it, by monitoring his pitches per contest, his output per contest. We're told how he views it. If you can't follow the pitcher himself, who's clearly in line with the organization, you guys just want some stuff that ain't happening because Cade Horton is coming off injury.
You could argue it's training wheels. In July, he threw 90 pitches on the third against Cleveland. He threw 94 on the ninth against Minnesota. He threw 86 against Boston and 84 against the White Sox. We're in that month. Did he throw 75 pitches?
And then they scaled it back, understandably, so that they can get him all the way through postseason starts. That's why I asked the question, by the way, because I was like, okay, clearly you guys aren't saying he's going to be shut down at any point, but how are you capping anything? He's like, we're not doing it by a whole, okay, he can only pitch this percentage over what he pitched last year. That was in the answer that we played. But you still got to be careful with what you're letting him do when he is out there. And now he's in a comfortable place where he can pitch 70. I don't know if he'll pitch 80, 90 pitches in the postseason. I would hope so. But at that point, you're in the postseason. You're in the bonus. You're going for it all. Right now, that's not where we are. We're just trying to keep him in line.
They're trying to win the division, though. That's a game they should have won. And
get
it's because
more
of
offense.
Him.
That is why you're struggling with the division. Make sure Kyle Tucker's healthy. Make sure PCA's out of the funk. And please, somebody, figure out what's going on with Seiya Suzuki.
But they can't pluck the offense out of thin air, or else they would have done it already.
Well, and Carlos Santana was in the lineup.
Frankly, they still have not had anything guaranteed to them yet. They haven't clinched a playoff berth. You still need wins to do that.
And they'll win games because they're playing 15 games in a row against teams with losing records.
But yesterday was a wasted start. And the way that bullpen was managed after that, like, you can't go one more inning and make it easier on everybody?
Yeah, Ben Brown is the one that essentially set up Drew Pomeranz. I mean, it was the right move by
Ben
Craig
Brown
Counsell.
Ben Brown got the loss.
Thank you. Say that last part. It's the what by Craig Counsell?
It was the right move.
Thank you.
It was.
That's all I wanted to hear.
I'm saying to bring in Drew Pomeranz after Ben Brown to face the lefty.
And then what happened?
And then he gave up a 3-run homer, ultimately. And then did he give up the homer to Albies, too? Or was that Hodge? It doesn't matter. The Cubs ended up losing the game.
Well, there was Pomeranz, and then there was also Taylor Rogers.
That's who it was. It was off of Rogers. The one thing I was thinking about was you get to a situation where obviously he's at 75 pitches, and Craig Counsell has on his mind that he's in the midst of a no-hitter. So if you do put him out there, you're either all in with this no-hitter or not. And then you're getting in a situation where you might be throwing 120 pitches. I know this for a fact.
And that was never happening.
And that wasn't going to happen. I know this, and I'm sure Craig Counsell is the same, and I'm sure most organizations do this, but one thing I learned under Joe Maddon when I was doing pre and post from 15 to 17 was they have a plan going into every game. What if this pitcher is throwing a no-hitter? They literally talk about that. Are we going to let him fly? And maybe they had the luxury of doing that because you had Jake Arrieta on your staff and that awesome pitching staff that they had. But there is they do think through these. What if they're in the fifth inning and he has 70 and he's got a no-hitter? Are we just going to let him go for it, or are we going to be disciplined? In this case, they were disciplined,
but
I thought.
It was that part. It's the part you just mentioned. It's not necessarily just having Jake Arrieta. It's that they also had John Lester, John Lackey. They had a bevy of capable starters. And unfortunately,
Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah. Yes, yes, Kyle Hendricks, appropriately.
Yeah.
The Cubs don't have the same kind of starting pitching staff depth right
now.
Yeah,
that's a great point, Layla. Yeah, but you're right, because Boyd has, like, I think Boyd's going to be okay, but this is the most pitches he's thrown since 2019 in a season.
Justin Steele is out for the season. Shota Imanaga, unfortunately, was not as sharp as he usually is last outing. Like,
Kyle Ray is what he is, right?
You don't have the luxury. you don't have the luxury to let that guy throw and then rest, and that's a shame, too.
Jameson Taillon makes a rehab start tonight. That's all I got on that. I
almost forgot about Jameson Taillon.
Well, that's good. He'll be a welcome shot in the arms since you forgot about him.
Amen. It's like getting a player to trade twice.
Let's not do that, because they had a chance to get players in trade.
Did with Javier Assad, and they keep optioning him.
Yeah, Javier, he's on the plan. Yep.
He's on the plan.
The plan. You're on the minor league back and forth. There was a guy for the Blackhawks named Jack Skilly who was, like, hilariously sent back down after almost every Blackhawks game. The Jack Skilly plan, I will call it.
The Jack Skilly plan.
I think
plan.
That was his name. Skilzy.
Skilzy.
Tomsy.
This segment with Raheemy and Harris and Mark Grody is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Coming up next, we have an NFL game tonight, so you know what that means. Fantasy football is here. Paul Charchian, the man, the myth, the legend, joins us. It's a tradition, and it resumes next on The Score.